God has a plan for your life. And I think that's a good thing, you know, especially it's always a good time to kind of reevaluate and even push further down onto your beliefs. What better time than New Year's Eve? You know, you're speaking over that new year, and it's always great to just reanalyze what your expectations and your just what you're believing for. And so there's like three major things, and my dad's always taught me this, is there's lots of really important decisions that you make in your life. Number one, what's number one? Inviting Jesus into your heart and making him the Lord of your life. Number two is what he usually tells me, and what he always told me is who you marry. That's the second biggest thing. And what I've kind of deduced is what the third one is, what you're going to do with your life. What are you going to make of your life? What are you going to make of yourself? How are you going to show God to others? And so I want to kind of talk about what that looks like and what we should all be believing for and standing on come 2024. And so those are the big important things. And just right off the bat, God has given you everything you need to do whatever he has called you to do. Amen. Amen. He has given you everything. You don't need to be praying for, oh, I need this. I need a little more faith, a little more peace, a little more wisdom to kind of tackle this path in my career. God's given you all of that. He doesn't need to give you anything more. He has given you everything necessary to make you a provider, you know, for your wife and for your family, to enable you to be a giver to the church and those who are less fortunate around you, and also to be so much of a giver that you have something to leave your children or those who come after you. That's how much he wants to provide. You know, he's covered all bases for you and for those who come after you. And so number one is, you know, how do I know what to do with my life? And God has instilled in every single one of us, you know, these desires, these passions for things. You know, there's lots of things, whether it's a hobby, just things you enjoy doing. You like going outside. You know, there are these different things that you enjoy doing. God gives you those things for reasons. God gives us the desires of our heart. Amen? So he has given you those things, and they're not for nothing. They're not to just, you know, blow your Sunday afternoon after church or something on. You know, there's something that you can really do something big and genuine with your life. And so I would say the first step is to kind of pursue, you know, that path that God has for you, is to pursue your talents, gifts, and interests. You know, he gave you those for a reason. You know, God doesn't just give things, you know, oh, this is just something for them to do when they're bored, when they don't have anything to do. No, they're intentional. God is very intentional with the things that he gives us. He doesn't give people interest willy-nilly. He's like, oh, well, they look like they might like the Rubik's Cube. I'll just make them really good at it for no reason at all. You know, that doesn't do that. You know, my brother does the Rubik's Cube, and that's been a way for him to connect with people, to bring people close to him, to even be an outreach for Jesus at certain points in time. And that's just, you know, it's not something you would expect. I would never expect that, you know, for God to use something like that. But that's how intentional he is with things like that. You know, he gives you all these things. You know, there's a greater purpose to it. And so we need to acknowledge that they are God-given and they have a purpose. And they're not only God-given, but they're blessed by God. So when you do those things that you enjoy doing, they are blessed. And they are going to be impactful to those around you. And so kind of pulling from my own story, this I see this in my life a lot. So when I was probably, I would say like 13 or so, that can help me out, we started doing video announcements at our church. We haven't done them in a while because they are a lot of work. They're very interesting, and it's a certain point where, like, you know, it's probably just a little more practical to have someone come up and, you know, just tell you the announcements. But we did them for a while, but that's kind of how I got my start. I kind of realized, hey, I kind of like, you know, making videos, you know, being behind the camera and stuff like that. So who knows how long ago that was. But that's something that I just kind of decided that I was interested in. I was into that. And so I decided to pursue that. So I started helping out with that. When I was of college age, I, you know, took a photography, a video class at college. You know, just decided to pursue it because I enjoy it. You know, what's it going to hurt? I want to, you know, pursue the things that I enjoy. And, you know, that turned into, you know, shooting my own videos, helping out here in the church. And when I eventually moved out and went to Bible college, I got a video job at a church up in Springs. And that really, just looking back on that, that has skyrocketed just my career, my personal, it's just pretty much every aspect of my life just pretty much rockets off from that point. You know, from that, I learned how to be part of, you know, video teams. I learned how to do really good audio. And I would just watch YouTube videos, because I just wanted to learn more and more and more. And now I'm, you know, I'm at a pretty good job. I work at Dr. James Dobson Family Institute in Springs. And I'm a videoer there. And I just look back, and in the beginning, you know, before I, you know, kind of knew that I liked video editing, I didn't know anything. But from that point, that has elevated me to be able to provide for my wife, not to mention meeting my wife at that church. So that, you know, just a little nice thing that came out of that. But it's a pretty good deal if I do say so myself. But, you know, I look back, and just from those little moments of just pursuing those interests, and, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot. You're like, well, I might have nothing better to do. I guess I'll learn a little bit more about this. But those are the building blocks that I feel that almost my entire life is built on, and that God allowed that to really propel me forward, that I probably would have never been able to have that opportunity if it wasn't for that. And so I'd encourage you all, you know, no matter how small or insignificant that your hobbies or interests or whatever they might be, God can do great and mighty things with little. He multiplied the loaves and the fish. He can do great things with just your interests and hobbies. You know, he did that with Samson. Samson had a gift. He used it for the Lord. We won't talk about the last part of the Samson story, but the beginning was really good. You know, he used God's gifts for good. You know, Solomon, God gave him wisdom. He used them for good. Same, not so much in the end, but in the beginning, it was really good. And David, you know, with him just being out in the fields and just, you know, the little things with his slingshot, you know, just slaying a lion here, a bear here. It seems like little things, but God elevated him to the king of Israel. That's crazy. God can do so much with so little. God will give you the desires of your heart. So those things that you desire, God will give them to you. They're not there for nothing. Your passions and interests are inherently things that you want to desire more and more to get to know more about. God made it that way. He wants you to be excited about it. And it's only natural that, like I said, some of those interests turn into something bigger. They turn into something that God uses for the greater good. And it's amazing how he does that. And like I said, with David, he's probably the biggest changeup that's ever happened in all the Bible. I mean, some 12, 13-year-old kid just, you know, watching sheep. The most, hopefully there's no farmers in here, but probably back then, probably one of the most insignificant things you could do back then. You know, you just sit there and do sheep, but God did so much. Killed a lion, killed a bear, killed Goliath. Like, man, it's crazy what God does. And so, really, just go after those things that God has put in your heart unabashedly, and just go after it. And so, once you kind of get going with that, speak over it. Speak over your path in life. Be prophetic in your life. I'm expecting big things to happen in my life. With whatever I put my hand to, it prospers. Your words have power, and your goals in life will align with the mindset that you have. So if you have, you know, if you say 3 years ago you had, well, it's COVID time, I guess my career's down the tubes. No. I can think, there's so many people who I know who had, whether it's an at-home business or just some sort of product business, they started at home during that time, and God did crazy things during that time, during probably one of the darkest times that I've been alive. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on. God doesn't care about circumstances. Circumstances don't matter to God. And so we need to be careful of what we're speaking and believing for our life, because it changes. What you're thinking will change your mindset. So if you're thinking great and positive things over your career, your path, what you God has for you, it's inevitable that it's going to align with those thoughts. So I want to read the scriptures, James chapter 3:3-5. And this is kind of, you know, the go-to for that everyone has, that we all need to be aware of the power that our words have. And so in verse 3, it says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things." And so really, it's important to realize the impact that your words have. And, you know, imagine your tongue is that rudder, you know, where it's going to take you in life. If you steer that rudder in the wrong direction, it could steer you away from where God wants you to be in your life. And so we need to always be careful and cautious that we're steering back to where we know that God has good things for us. And we have to be very intentional. Again, Dad has spoken about all this. You know, your thoughts, they come and they go, and they're just crazy. So we have to be very intentional with what we're thinking. Speak blessings over your future. Be hopeful and thankful for what God has already given you, and know that he's going to use it for so much more in your future. It's important. And so once you have all that, and you get into that place, you know, you're there, and you're in your dream job or whatever, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. It's important. You know, it's very tempting, you know, once you get into that spot, it's like, oh, I finally got this big thing that I've been wanting for my whole life. Now I can relax. I'll just do things to get by. No. Were you doing that before when you're being expectant and hopeful for God to give you that great opportunity that he gave you? You need to be always doing things as if you're doing them unto the Lord. And you need to be grateful for what God has given you. So a really good example of this is Joseph in the Bible. You know, God gave him a lot when he got dealt a really horrible hand throughout his life, mostly because of his brothers. So I'm going to go over that. And so if you didn't know, Joseph had 11 brothers. Their father loved him the most. He was the favorite. And so some of you might know that if you have lots of siblings and stuff, it's not good nowadays to have favorites. This isn't indicating that a parent should have a favorite child. This is back then. Right, Dad? Okay. Just making sure. So back then, wrongly, he had a favorite son. And all the other brothers knew it. And as you could expect, they didn't really like that too much. I don't think any of us would. It'd be like, oh, well, don't you love me? No, I love your brother more. Cool. Awesome. Not something that everyone wants to hear. So, of course, you can imagine that they were not happy about it. And they're even more not happy when he told them he had a couple of dreams. And if you guys know, he dreamt about these bundles of grain and the sun and the moon and the stars bowing before someone in the middle. And they were like, oh, who's that person in the middle? And Joseph was like, it's me. Everyone's bowing to me. So they already didn't like him, and you can imagine that little tidbit didn't do too well after. And so the story goes, they got jealous, they threw him in a deep pit, they sold him into slavery. Probably wouldn't have happened if he had one or two sisters, I'm guessing. It probably wouldn't have gotten to that point, you know. They'd probably been like, hey, maybe let's think about this a little more. All brothers, he wasn't that lucky. They did what they were thinking, unfortunately for him. So they sold him into slavery, and most people would think, well, that's kind of it. You know, nothing can really come from that. That's his life is basically over, you know. You can't really do too much about that. But God did something with it. He was bought by a man named Potiphar, and he raised him up in his house, and he pretty much became Potiphar's right-hand man. He was a very influential man. And so that was a big deal. And then even further, Potiphar's wife tried to make advances toward him, but Joseph was not having it. So he ran away. Potiphar's wife lied about him, said he tried to make advances at her. So Potiphar sent him to prison. And if you didn't think it was bleak at this point, most people would say, well, this is as bleak as it can get. You know, now there's really no hope. But even still, it didn't matter how deep Joseph got. God was still moving in his life and working things, and he had plans for him, no matter what. And so while he was in that prison, there's some men there, and they were having these dreams, and he interpreted them. And this one he interpreted, he became the Pharaoh's right-hand man, or was it his cook, or the cupbearer, I believe. One of those. I should have prepared that. But he became, yeah. But he basically interpreted that, and he was like, Pharaoh, this guy interpreted my dream while we were in prison. And Pharaoh had a dream that he was woeful about. So he was looking for people to interpret this dream. So Joseph was able to go all the way up to the Pharaoh, the man who had fallen into slavery, then somehow from slavery into jail, even worse, all the way up to a meeting with the Pharaoh. And when he interpreted the dream, Pharaoh made him the right man, the right-hand man over all of Egypt. So when you look at that story from beginning to end, it doesn't look very good in the beginning. But all through that, God was working. And God had a plan all through that. And the big thing about all of that is Joseph didn't let any of that get to them. At every point of that his life and of that journey, he did his work as if he was doing it unto the Lord. He never let situations or circumstances get the better of him. He never let his thoughts or expectations on his life drift into the negative. He was always hopeful, and he always knew that God was working out something for his good. And boy, did God work out something for his good. From quite literally the lowest point you could possibly be in life to pretty much the highest next to being Pharaoh that he could have been. Those are very two different places to be in life. And so that should tell you that God is no respecter of persons. He does not care about circumstances. He is working in your life. And how Joseph acted all throughout that is how we need to act. We need to do everything. It doesn't matter. You know, if the boss at work is being a slave driver, it doesn't matter what how things are going. If things are tough, finances are tough, do your work as if you're doing it unto the Lord. He blesses those who are faithful. And God promotes those who are faithful. God sees. God doesn't let, you know, extra deeds and the extra work that you're putting in go by. He sees all of that. And so it would have been easy for Joseph to lose faith in God or to lose hope in himself. I probably would have lost hope in myself. That's bleak. You're just like, man, what can I do right? I'm being a good man. I was being a good man with Potiphar, but it still turned out bad for me. But it didn't matter. He didn't give in to temptation. He did everything as if he were doing it to God. And God made sure that he was blessed because of that. And so we need to give God the glory where it's deserved when we get, you know, I'm sure Joseph was giving some glory to God when he got to that place, when he was believing for it for so long. Give glory to God for where you're at. When you get to that point, be an example. You know, when people ask, man, how did you get that amazing job? I've been looking for that so long. It was God. I know for pretty much every job that I've had in my life, every opportunity, it doesn't make sense in the physical and the natural. It only makes sense that it's from God. And I make sure, and I even tell my wife, I'm like, this isn't even, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. This is from God. And so give the glory where it's deserved and be an example to those around you. So I have another verse, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And this says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Bring the people in and tell them this is from God. Let's glorify him together for the great things that he has done in our lives. And another good example is the story of the leper, as we all know. Luke 17, 11 through 19, if we could pull that up. This is, you know, the ultimate. You would think that this story goes differently, but it's interesting, and I'll tell you why. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And so if you didn't know, it wasn't even just the fact that they had leprosy back then. There was even more to that. It was they were unclean, which in a sense was almost worse than leprosy itself. They were very serious about all that stuff. There were all these rules. If you touch this, you're unclean. If you eat this, you're unclean. If you stand on your head, you're unclean. And all of that, they're very serious about it. And so it was a very big deal that these men had leprosy. And so they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they went, they were cleansed. In verse 15 it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. And so you would think in that situation, all 10 would go and just, you know, a life-changing disease, something that could potentially end their lives, was instantly cured, and only one thought to go back to thank and give glory to God. Let's be like the one. Let's give glory, no matter how big, no matter how small. Give glory to where it's due. If my dad buys me lunch, I'm going to say thank you. So if God is giving you a big, massive career change, opportunities here and there, that's much bigger. And so therefore, we should definitely be giving thanks for it. Thank God for the desires of your heart. Thank God for those interests and things that he's given you. Thank him for the things that he's going to do with them. And all, like Joseph, all through the process, be giving thanks. Do things unto the Lord. And give glory. When you get to that spot, give glory to God. So I'm going to be ending it here, a little shorter today. God wants the absolute best for you. I think we can all agree for that. God wants the best for you. And he has given you everything necessary that you will ever need to carry it out. Be proactive in pursuing your interests, growing your skills, and pray over your future. Unless you want to be like a firefighter or something, then don't go practice that. You know, practice, you know, like cameras or, you know, other things. But probably not that. But be intentional. And that's over, I don't know when I started preaching this year, but kind of an overlaying theme throughout them has been be intentional. And I think, you know, whether it's with your thoughts or what you're doing with your life, I think that's one of the most important things that you can do in your walk with the Lord and with trusting in him is you have to be intentional. You know, there's a lot of noise and chaos in this world. And if you let yourself, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to let your mind drift and to let those goals and one thing that you have for your life to kind of get tucked away and put away for later. You know, you kind of think, well, it'll happen sometime. Someone will come by someday, and, you know, that job I've been wanting to start or that side hustle I've been wanting to start, I'll start that when someone kind of comes and gives me a nudge. And no one's going to come give you a nudge. God's giving you that nudge. He is giving you that desire in your heart, and you have to be intentional with everything in your life. Amen. Don't put those things on the back burner. Don't put those things away in the closet, you know. Bring those things out that you are interested in and run after it. Make it the most important thing below God, your relationship with God. Make that the most important thing to you because God cares about what you do with your life because in the end, we want it to bring glory to him, so of course God cares about it. So be intentional with every respect of your life, and God is going to do great and mighty things, and I am very expectant for 2024. It doesn't matter, you know, the election at the end of the year, it doesn't matter what's going to be happening. I know the good things are going to come me and my wife's way and for this my house's way, this church's way. Great things are going to happen, so let's be expectant for 2024.